Hello, and welcome to the Talking Food with Bidfood podcast. I'm Callie, your host for today. And for this episode, we're talking about how the 2024 general election will impact school meals. Gavin Squires, Bidfood's Business Development Controller for Education, will be joining me today as co-host. Gavin, it's great to have you on the podcast. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Callie. As you say, I'm a Business Development Controller for Education within Bidfood, and I've been with the business for nearly 20 years. Within the education division I head up, my team manage a variety of accounts, including local educational authorities and contract caterers, mainly focusing on primary schools, secondary schools, sixth form colleges and independent schools.
We also have a couple guests lined up for the episode. We've got Andy Kemp, MBE, joining us, who is Bidfood's Group Executive Director. Both Andy and Gavin have been working diligently for the provision of school meals, lobbying government to increase funding and fighting for a child's right to a free, nutritious school lunch. Particularly close to their heart has been fighting for the protection of universal infant-free school meals, along with their work on holiday hunger, advocating and ensuring a better future for children across the UK. We will also be joined by Patricia Fellows, MBE, a veteran in the school catering who has worked for over 65 years in the industry. She joined the industry as head of kitchen in a secondary school, became the chair of LACER in 1994 to 96, and is now holding a consultancy role for the industry. She will be providing great insight into how school catering has changed over the years. All of our guests are passionate about the future of school meals, and we have lots of great insights to bring you. So let's get started. We are now joined by Andy and Patricia. Andy, could you tell us a bit about yourself?
I'm the Group Executive Director for Bidfood, and I've been involved in school feeding for over 30 years. Initially, I worked as a supplier and a food broker, and this was my first introduction 25 years ago. I then joined Bidfood as their Group and Sales and Marketing Director, and more latterly as an Executive Director. My involvement has been with LACER and government, the all-party parliamentary group, in relation to school food, and also the backup for the support of holiday hunger. We are continually lobbying for the increase of universal infant-free school meals, and also highlighting the fact that there's over 1 million children living in poverty. To discuss my experience in this whole area, it's quite interesting when you start to look at what isn't being done by government and what could be done.
Thanks, Andy. It sounds like you've done some great work and are currently doing some great work. We're now joined by Pat Fellows. Welcome to the podcast and thank you for joining us, Pat.
As you said, I've done 65 years feeding school children. When I left college, my second job was as catering manager at a boarding school in Lewes, East Sussex, with 120 girls. And I'm going to name drop here. One of them was a certain lady called Camilla, who is now the Queen of England. I stayed there and then I had my children and then I went back to work. And in 1972, I joined the school meal service and I had 10 jobs in the school meal service for East Sussex County Council. And when I carelessly lost my contract to the private sector, I was feeding 280 schools, 47,000 meals a day and 1,500 staff, mainly women, few gents there, but mainly women. And without them, I could achieve nothing. So for me, the two most important things about school meals are the staff and, of course, the children.
Thank you, Pat. That's a really interesting past you've got there. So if I take us back to today's subject, how the general election will impact school catering, it has become more of a challenge to cater for schools, especially over the last few years. But what would you say has been the main causes of this difficulty?
So I think that the problems out there are fragmentation in particular. But the education service is totally fragmented now. We have local authority schools. We have schools doing their own thing, groups of schools doing their own thing. And we also have academy trusts. And we also have schools that were under the private finance initiatives. And then you add to that the school meals sector. And our industry is really fragmented now because we have the private sector. We have We have head teachers doing their catering themselves. We have still have some local authorities managing groups of schools. And it's very difficult now to have a uniform thing. And then you add to that the issue of funding, which is probably the biggest one of the moment.
Thanks for telling us, Pat. That's really interesting to hear. Gavin, you're out and about with our education customers every day. What do you see schools struggling with the most?
Actually, Callie, as we host this podcast, I'm actually here at one of our key education clients' premises. And the key challenges our education customers are facing on a day-to-day basis is basically budgets and funding. Schools just simply do not have the correct levels of funding, and our customers are struggling to make ends meet on a daily basis and basically manage it on a shoestring. So it's come to the point now that if funding is not addressed and reviewed, the future of education catering is in doubt.
What do you think, Andy?
Well, I think it's well noted and recorded that children that are not fed adequately at home are unable to retain information at school if they haven't got a full stomach. And one of the issues that concerns me most of all is that nobody's picking up on this fact, because the reality of it is, in the poorest areas, those students are going to be returning their lessons at a much lower rate.
Yeah, you're completely right there, Andy. And one of the constant battles that schools face is the fact that they have to find a way to provide children nutritious meals whilst having a very limited budget. It's not enough to expect caterers to work to these budgets. The funding for school meals needs to be increased, something that I know you work closely with, Gavin.
Absolutely. It's not just the budgets and the cost constraints. It's also the school caterers providing a two-course meal on a shoestring budget that meets and adheres to the standards. So just reverting back to my point earlier surrounding funding, it is imperative this is reviewed. Andy, Pat and myself work so closely with government via the all-party parliamentary group meeting in relation to school food. And we continue to lobby government on this critical subject on behalf of industry. So on multiple occasions, two or three occasions now, we've submitted our paper to government and the Shadow Cabinet outlining the severity of the situation, along with our recommendation for increases in universal and free school meals to over £3 up to, well, our recommendation really is £3.30, which has simply been falling on deaf ears.
Just to add to what Gavin said, and I think that Pat almost highlighted the cause and effect of competitive tendering. It appears to me that government looked at the lowest price and the lowest deal to deliver the best opportunity with children feeding. And of course, everything they did just diluted the marketplace, created even further confusion, and left really many operators unable to operate. The reality of it is that government has to look at and appreciate the serious facts, which are now beginning to be highlighted. First of all, the caterers are trying their very best to provide an excellent service. The education department have not funded this enough, and head teachers have a split budget which they can take advantages from. Behind all of this, we have massive inflation, an absolute deal and need to offer higher quality food with good nutritious standards. And we've hit the perfect storm where the whole marketplace is turning itself upside down.
I'd just like to say that this is a very important year for the school meal service and feeding our children. It's the 80th anniversary of the 1944 Education Act, which said that all children attending a state school in the UK should be provided with a nutritious meal, either free or paid, depending on their parents' income. So it's quite something that this service has been going for 80 years. And to add to that, there is no doubt that the funding system does not work as it is. It's not fit for purpose. And we do hope that the next government will listen to try and start with a clean piece of paper or a clean computer and try and work out something where funding is equitable and the caterers actually receive the money that's paid to the head teachers.
Pat, you've been working in this industry a long time. Has it always been this difficult?
No, it was fine until about 1980 when the Conservative government said you do not need to provide the hot meal anymore. You can just provide a sandwich for the freedom of children. And then in 1986 came the compulsory competitive tendering, and that's when the industry started to change.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for sharing that. And thank you again for sharing some brilliant insight into what school catering looks like right now. Next, we're going to do a deep dive into the government's role in funding for school meals. Welcome back to the podcast. The cost of living has increased rapidly over the last few years. Wages have risen, and the cost of food and bills has also risen at the same time. This is having a massive effect on many families across the nation, with many struggling to feed their children. So, Gavin, to give an idea about how wide this problem is in the UK, how many children benefit from universal infant free school meals at the moment, and how many are actually utilising free school meals?
So the number of children benefiting from universal infant free school meals at the moment is 1.3 million pupils. And in relation to pupils benefiting from free school meals, that is just over 2 million at 2.1 million pupils.
Many children are missing out on free school meals, which is such a shame, as school meals need to adhere to the school meal standards, therefore guaranteeing children at least one nutritious meal a day. So uptake of school meals is only part of the problem. A massive issue is also the underfunding of school meals by the government. Andy, could you tell us a bit more about that?
I can do. I wouldn't mind taking us back to 2005, when we had a massive hit around, at the time, Turkey Twizzlers. Turkey Twizzlers were a product produced by Bernard Matthews. They were using scapular meat from turkeys, and they were actually creating a Twizzler, which at the time was being deep fried. The problem was, if this product had been oven baked, there would have been a lot less fat saturation. But the issue, which was missed at the time, was Turkey Twizzlers were used because of the funding deficit that schools had. It was a cheap product. If I bring this up to date, in 2014, the universal infant free school meal funding was £2.30 per child. That moved 6 years later, in September 20, to £2.34. That moved 6 years later, in September 2020, by 1.70% to £2.34. It was revised again in September 22 by a further 3% at £2.41. And then last year, September 23, this moved to £2.53. So really, from almost over 9 years, the movement here was from 230 to 253. The reality of it was, if you go back to September 23 and review the increase, measuring it by RPI, then that funding would have increased by 43.10% and should have been £3.29. If you measured that by real food increases, that movement was 41.25%, taking that to £3.25. The second element is driven by the fact that the school has a calculation on how many children are due to be fed. And if 10 children don't arrive at school that day, the caterer which has prepared that food is then underpaid by 10 children, and the money then goes directly to the school and not to the caterer. This is actually creating a secondary issue, when underfunding for food is one point and then underfunding for pupils is the other.
And Andy, am I right to say that a lot of schools don't delegate the full budget to school catering?
No, they don't. I mean, what they have is a nominated day in the term where they calculate how many pupils they will feed, and then they work from that for their nomination. And this is obviously an issue, because the monies that is being paid specifically for children at this point now is going back to the school and not to the caterer.
This is the census, which takes place once or twice a year. And it's based on how many children take up universal infant free school meals on a particular day. Now, what happens is, head teachers ask the caterer to put a really nice menu on. And so lots of the universal free school meal children come. And then it pushes up the census number. So then they are paid, the school, the £2.53 to be £2.58 for that number of children for that year. What happens is by Friday, lots of those university and preschool children don't come in. So the head teacher gets about 30% of £2.53, which he can use in other budgets. Now, I have some sympathy with that because their budgets are in a mess as well. But it certainly doesn't help the caterer. And also, where this contract's let, some of the private contractors and even some of the local authorities get as little as £2.20 for the meal. Now, we can see and we've seen that some schools are closed, some local authorities are closing down their services and schools because they just can't, the caterers just cannot afford to get the meal on the plate.
Pat, to add to this, am I right in thinking that there must be a lot of children who are not on the free school meals programme, but their families are heading towards struggling to afford school meals too?
Well, unfortunately, so many things have gone wrong of late, and one of them is the universal credit benefit system, and it just does not really work. We've heard some horror stories about people that work too many hours and now got £20,000 bills, but for school meals, it doesn't work. Anyone earning more than £4,000, even though they're on benefits, those children, their parents and children are not entitled to a free school meal. And there are 800,000 of them out there who should be receiving a free school meal, definitely. And I think actually at the moment, that's a higher priority, perhaps, than extension to Key Stage 2. Although, of course, Scotland and Wales are extending to Key Stage 2 at the moment. And the other thing is that I think needs to be mentioned. It is said that 1 million children in England are going to bed hungry. Now, that is terrible. So it's even more important that they get their hot meal at lunchtime to help to sustain them for the rest of the day.
From what was just said, what can the next elected government do about that?
Well, from my point of view, in relation to funding, the first thing I feel that the newly formed government will need to focus on as a minimum is parity and alignment of the universal infant free school meal funding across England, Wales and Scotland. So when you look at the funding for Wales being £3.20 and then with Scotland being £3.33 and also £3 for London, the rest of England is so far adrift to where funding needs to be. It is absolutely shocking, to be quite frank. I would also encourage the government to ring fence the funding for school meals, as Pat alluded to earlier, as it is not ring fenced and funding can be allocated towards other areas of the school and not particularly within school catering. But before industry focus on expanding universal free school meals to Key Stage 2, the funding increase and ring fencing of this funding needs to be addressed first and foremost. Andy, do you have anything you want to add to that further?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think what government can do coming forward is actually face the facts of what's gone on and what is going on. First of all, there is not sufficient enough funding to fill this gap today. We are nearly £1 underfunded. Secondly, we have 1 million children that are living in poverty and in many cases are absolutely reliant on the one hot meal a day being provided by either an authority or by a contractor. Thirdly, I think what they need to better understand is the actual physical cost of this change is not massive in compared to government budgets, but the rewards are huge. We then understand that children who are not sated don't actually contain or retain the teachings that they have. What we're actually doing is creating an under society, because therefore in areas where there's greater poverty, there's a greater chance that these children won't get the opportunity to learn at the levels that they should do. And this is absolutely a criminal injustice, in my opinion. So what the government must do is fully understand the issue, fully engage with, I would suggest, the bodies that are highlighting what's going forward, because most of us recognise that the future of any country is the youngsters that are coming through. Now, My experience over the last few months is that only one party has recognised this, and that's the Liberals. And I'm not taking a political position. They have it on their agenda. It sits on their manifesto. And I do not believe that the education ministers in either of the other parties hasn't had this awareness. It's not about balancing a budget for Whitehall. It's about creating opportunities for the future.
Thank you, Andy, for that. And Pat, is there anything else you would add to that? If the government do not increase funding for school meals, what would happen?
I think it could gradually go, because there are other issues about staffing and lack of being able to get staff. And it's just so sad because, you know, I've spent most of my life in school catering, and it's so important for the children's health as well as their education. And I would like to have seen that in this 80th year, that we go forward and we feed our children in our state schools and academies and all the rest of them for another 80 years. But at the moment, I don't feel it's safe. But we are in difficult times and everybody's running out of money. But I do hope that they will listen to us. We're doing our best to keep lobbying, but at the moment, it isn't looking too good. And we've just had East Cheshire close. We've had Dudley School Mills close. Some of these that are closing are being picked up by other people. But it's very, very important that this vital service is there for our future generation, for their health and well-being and their nutrition and everything else.
I will add to that as well, because I think it's quite interesting, Pat, that when you talk about the commencement of school meals around the time of World War II, I cannot believe that any time England's financial position couldn't have been worse with what we were paying through that war. We look at where we are today, and we're one of the top 20 nations in the world with a fairly strong economic positioning, and yet we don't move forward at all in 80 years.
Now, and there is the other issue which we haven't touched on, of course, which is paid meals. And the selling price of the meal to the parents who can pay or ask to pay is going up rapidly. And some parents now just cannot afford. If you've got three children and it's £3 a day, it doesn't take a mathematician to work out that that is very, very expensive when they're all struggling with their rent and their fuel and their food and everything else. So the paid meals are dropping quite dramatically as well.
That's really great insight that you've provided there. And if you had one key message to get across to the leaders and parliamentary candidates, what would it be?
Mine would be quite simple. Please listen to us. When I say us, I mean the industry. Please understand the challenges we're facing on a day-to-day basis and time to act now. We're talking about the future of our generation, of our country here. So we need to take immediate action, as I said earlier, in order for the education catering service to survive. That would be my key message.
Thanks, Gavin. And do you have anything to add to that, Andy?
I think everything has been said, to be honest, but the real thing is act now. We can't wait any longer. The situation is in such a dire strait today, and it's not going to improve.
Thanks, Andy. And one last key message from you, Pat.
Well, I think let's protect this wonderful service that has been going for all these years, and the staff that have worked so hard and still continue to do so, the people at the sharp end in the kitchens who go in, day out, in the rain, the snow, when they don't feel well, they're still there to feed their children and give them a lovely lunch and a smile over the hatch. And that's for our children. And that is so important.
Thank you, Pat. Everything we've discussed today has been really eye-opening, and I think we can all agree on just how much needs to be done by the next government to support caterers and the future of children. A lot of work needs to be done to ensure that our next generation are fully equipped to learn and have the optimum foundation needed to grow. Before I wrap things up, Pat, I just wanted to say a massive thank you for joining us on the podcast and sharing your fantastic insight and knowledge of the sector.
Thank you. I'm extremely passionate and have been all my life for this cause. And it's wonderful to be involved with Bidfood and to have this opportunity. Thank you so much.
And Andy, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. It was fantastic to hear about your perspective on what the next government need to do to avoid failing our next generation.
It's been my pleasure to share my thoughts. Like Pat, I've been delighted to be able to be engaged with this, and even more delighted that the fact that my organisation backs us 100%.
As I wrap things up, Gavin, that was a really interesting conversation, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And me personally, I could listen to Pat and Andy all day long because their passion in relation to the future of our country is it's invaluable. You can hear that every single time and we have a conversation with Andy and Pat. For me now, I'd love to get the podcast that we've just hosted out within the industry, within government, and within key decision makers to ensure that the message is crystal clear on behalf of industry. So thank you, Kelly.
I absolutely agree, Gavin, and thank you for joining me as co-host for the first time.
My pleasure.
Thank you for Pat and Andy for joining us on this episode and for providing great insight into the world of school meal funding. I can't stress enough the importance of voting on the 4th of July. Please do take the time to explore the party's manifestos and make an informed decision to better the future of our children. If you're looking for more information on what Bidfood can do to support your school, you'll be able to find our school's webpage, www.bidfood.co.uk/schools, or there is a link in this episode summary. If you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure you follow our series on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts, and make sure you're the first to listen to our latest episodes. Thank you all for listening, and until next time, goodbye.